I am so glad we can be back together again. I know we were in here last week, but I'm more excited about being back in God's house because we went without the privilege of being able to do that for so long. I missed most of y'all. Some of y'all I missed a whole lot. But no kidding aside, I missed all of you. I missed the opportunity we have to get back together. And eventually, we're going to have us a welcome home meal when the dust settles from this bug. If it ever settles, that's my plan for us to have a welcome home meal. Take your Bibles. If you brought your Bible, first off, if you brought your Bible, would you kind of hold it up in your hand? Very good. Electronic devices are just fine. Hymnals are still sinful. Electronics, empty hands are still sinful. No kidding. I'm just holding up. Something about having your Bible in your hand where you can follow through and make marks in it and notes and underline stuff and circle stuff. A little harder to do in an electronic version, but you can highlight. You can do stuff like that. So I'm glad you brought God's Word with you this morning. Turn them to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. It's in the Old Testament. Old Testament. Numbers chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Guess what? Numbers. Right there. Right there. And I'm assuming you can count up to 11, so I don't have to help you with that. But Numbers chapter 11, we're going to kind of touch down in different places on chapters 11 through 14. I don't know that we'll get all the way to 14 this morning. This is one of those sermons that I started working on it, and I had a kind of a plan that I was working on, and it kept growing. And it kept growing until all of a sudden I had to kind of cut it in half and make two sermons out of it. And so we're going to cover the first part of that. That's why it says part one. We're going to cover the first part of it this morning. So we may not make it all the way through till Numbers chapter 14, but we'll go a good little ways into this. Have you found it? Four of you have. Okay, have you found it? Okay, what page are you on? Good. You got your own Bible and you're on page 218? Listen, I am almost proud of you. Okay, we'll see what happens. Alan, it's all I can do to keep from being proud of you. But I'll do my best and I'll keep from being proud of you. Okay. All right, let me start with a story. I like a good story. There's an old fable. It tells about an old man who was traveling with a boy and a donkey. And they walked through a village, and the man led the donkey, and the boy walked behind. And the townspeople said the old man was a fool for not riding. So, to please them, he climbed up on the donkey, and they headed off. When they came to the next village, the people said the old man was cruel to make that child walk behind while he enjoys the ride. And so to please them, he gets off the donkey, he sets the boy on the donkey, and they continue on their way. The third village, the people accused the child of being lazy for making the old man walk. And the suggestion was made that they both ride. And so the man climbed back on, and both of them on top of the donkey, and they set off. In the fourth village, the townspeople were angry. My technology's messing up. Townspeople were angry at the cruelty to the donkey. Dang, making that donkey carry both of them, that's just so cruel. So the man was last seen carrying the donkey down the road with the boy walking behind. The moral of the story is this. We can never please everyone. That ain't gonna happen. And when we try, we end up looking like an idiot when we try to please everyone. I found out some time ago, the only person that I know I can't please is the one who wants their way all the time. Because that ain't gonna, unless it's me in my own home. Because it is all about me. That's another fable, by the way. That's not a true story. Although often I get my way in the house. Let me give you two statements of real truth. This is real truth. First is this. If we seek the approval of Christ, we will not have the approval of men. Not all the time. Now, sometimes. Because there are people who are also seeking the approval of Christ. But for the most part, if we seek the approval of Christ, we will not have the approval of men. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I now seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. What Paul's saying is you can't do both. You can't do both. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said this, It is not those who say they are good who are accepted, but those who the Lord thinks are good. There's a lot of folks walking around saying, look how good I am. And they're going to stand before the Father one day, and the Father's going to say, uh-uh, no you're not. No you're not. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, Be diligent to present yourselves approved to who? Yeah, not to each other. Not to man. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the second statement is this. If we seek God's approval, our enemy is going to take notice. If we make it number one on our list to please God in everything that we do, it's like drawing a big target on our back. And that's when the enemy sets out for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says, Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Did you catch that little three-letter word there? And yes, and all. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, the Bible doesn't say you're going to suffer persecution 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sooner or later, you're going to suffer persecution. God promises us that when we live for Him, things will get tough. Things will get tough. Listen, the Christian life is not the life of a sissy. Did y'all catch that? Christian life is not the life of a sissy. Christian life's the life of the tough. Because things will definitely get tough. Now, we've been talking about Moses, which seems like forever. And we're going to keep talking about him for a while longer, too. There's great lessons to learn from the life of Moses. And now, Moses was a really unique man. He had every reason to be proud of who he was and what he had accomplished. Every reason. Exodus chapter 11, verse 3 says of him, Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servant, and in the sight of the people. This guy didn't have to go around saying, it's all about me. Because pretty much, it was all about him. All throughout the land of Egypt, it was all about him. But Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says this. Moses was very humble. More humble than all men who were on the face of the earth. That puts him in a pretty unique category, doesn't it? He's the most humble man walking alive on the face of the earth at that time. In today's message, we're going to begin to look at how this humble man avoided the seduction of craving the approval of people. Man, there are people walking around that are so worried about what somebody else thinks. What somebody else might say. And to where they're not worried at all about what God thinks or what God might say. Now, because of the amount of scripture we're covering today, like I mentioned before, we're not going to read every verse. We're going to touch down here and there, but I do want you to follow along. You're still there in Numbers chapter 11, aren't you? Yeah, keep your Bible open, your phone turned on, your tablet turned on. Keep your phone and tablet turned on as long as you're not Facebooking or Instagramming or instant messaging or, what is it, TikToking now? Is that the thing? Bless you. Bless you. I don't know what all they do, but don't do that. Whatever they do, don't do that. You just follow along in the Bible, okay? Let's look at number one. Craving approval brings discouragement. Discouragement. Now, to kind of bring us up to where we are, I want to talk about the four major events of the Exodus. You've probably noticed that we've moved from the book of Exodus to the book of Numbers. And we skipped over a whole lot of big stuff from the book of Exodus. So to keep you from getting lost, let me fill in the blanks for you, okay? The first major event was this, the law. After Moses and the people encountered God's presence at Mount Sinai, God gave Moses his law. He did not give Moses his suggestions. He gave him his law. And of course, this includes the Ten Commandments, but there's a whole bunch more than just those Ten Commandments. And God wrote these laws in stone, it says, with his own finger. He wrote them in the stone. Number two is the golden calf. While Moses was up on the mountain with God, the people rebelled. Moses' own brother, Aaron, helped the people make an idol out of gold that they had brought from Egypt. And God judged them, and he killed many of them right there on the spot. God takes his law seriously. He does. There's a lot of people today who think they can just, you know, God's some kind of joke. And while they're alive to them, he might be. But listen, there's one day coming when they're going to realize that God is no joke. He's serious about his law. Number three is the glory of God. When Moses was up on the mountain with God, he was allowed to see the glory of the Lord pass by. And when he came down from the mountain, his face glowed so brightly with God's glory that he had to wear a veil. He wore a veil because of the brightness of God's glory reflecting off his face, not because of some bug that's running around that we're trying to stay away from. I am not pro-bug, but I am pro-breathing. I am. And I put a mask on one day. I tried to do it when we did the Lord's Supper back some time ago. We did it right in here. I could not breathe to save my life. I couldn't wear it. So in case you're wondering why I'm not wearing my mask today, I am more interested in breathing than I am avoiding that bug going around. So there it is. But Moses' face reflected the glory of God, and it was so bright that he had to keep his face covered. In a sense, when we get really close to God, our face may not glow like a light, but there will be evidence all over us that something has happened. That something has happened, and that something is that we have been close to God. God will change our lives. He'll make us more like Him. Is that somebody's phone ringing? Am I hearing things? Okay. Because I wanted to pick on somebody this morning really bad. Yeah, everybody now is checking your phones. I turned that thing off. I don't bring mine in here because one of y'all will try to call me during church. Yeah, Steve will. If he forgets, Joe, yeah, somebody will. And I hate for it going off and then y'all pick on me. Let's go on. The fourth thing, the tabernacle was planned and built. The tabernacle was a portable house of worship made from very specific plans. And it was built and it was put up and God was pleased that it was. These four things happened in the meantime between where we were last time and where we are today. Now, Here in Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, what we see is that complaints went up and fire came down. Complaints went up and fire came down. In Numbers chapter 10, in verses 11 and 13, it talks about how God moved the people out of their 11-month stay at Sinai. It says this, "Now it came to pass on the 20th day." Now again, this is chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. "It came to pass on the 20th day of the second month of the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony." In other words, time to pack up and move. Okay? "And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out from the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses." When the cloud began to move, they packed up the tabernacle, they packed up all of their stuff, and they followed the cloud wherever it went. Now Moses asked his father-in-law Jethro to accompany them because he was kind of familiar with the region. And as they made this northward journey across the wilderness, again the people complained. These were some complaining people. They complained all the time. "God, we're starving." He gives them manna. "I'm tired of manna." He gives them quail. "I don't like this. I don't like that." It kind of reminds me of children. Maybe that's why they're called the children of Israel. Bunch of complainy, whiny things. Anyways, they complain. And verse 1 says, "The Lord heard it." God overheard what they were saying. And I want you to realize this, just in case you didn't know it, God hears our complaints too. He does. He not only hears complaints we make in the house of God. "Well, why is that new carpet green? I don't like that green carpet. I want a blue carpet. I want a pink carpet. I want orange carpet. I want a shag carpet." If you wanted orange shag carpet, something's wrong with you. "I know, but I like orange too, but I don't want orange shag carpet." Good grief. This is not the 70s. Anyways, but what we complain about in here, and we don't complain about just things like colors of carpet. We complain about everything. Everything. And when we complain, I want you to realize, if you've never thought about this before, when we complain, God hears it. And He not only hears what we complain about in His house, He hears what we complain about everywhere else too. "Why are they driving so slow?" "Oh man, that's me. I complain when I'm driving. If they're going to drive that slow, they need to get out of the left-hand lane and get back in the slow lane so we can get around them. Can I get an amen?"
Yeah.
That's right. For those of you who are thinking, "I'm just going to travel in this left lane because I pay my taxes. I'm going the speed limit. So I've got 10 miles of traffic backed up behind me. Get over in the slow lane." That's just my advice. That way I don't have to complain about you. I got to admit, I got behind somebody one time. This is a number of years ago. And I started complaining. "Why are they going so slow?" It was right up here on, what is that, Johnson Street? Goes up that way? No, it's not Johnson. It's, anyway, right there next to right up through there. Come up to the railroad tracks. And I got behind somebody. Man, they're going about 10 miles an hour. I was starting complaining. I was complaining. Finally, when they got up to the railroad track and they stopped and then they turned, I realized it was one of our church members. No. Wasn't you. She has gone, since gone on to be with the Lord. But here I was just complaining. And listen, God heard my complaints. When we complain, it's not hidden from God. Now, we may not even voice it out loud. I do sometimes when I'm driving. I holler at people, get out of the left lane. Get over in the, if you're going to turn, use a turn signal. You know, I do all this kind of stuff driving down the road. Sometimes I complain inside. Sometimes I complain at church inside. And God hears that too. God heard their complaints. Now, it says there that God's anger was aroused and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them. If God responded to our complaints like that today, listen, some of us would be toast. Even this morning, we'd be toast. Moses, it says there, Moses cried out and the fire was quenched. Now, he didn't just cry out to be crying out. He cried out to the Lord. And the fire was quenched. The next thing, let us see. Troublemakers rose, Moses' spirits fell. Verse 4, we read about what's called the mixed multitude. Some versions call this these people the rabble. The New Century Version calls them troublemakers. And that's probably a pretty accurate translation. Exodus chapter 12, verse 38 tells us about it. Don't turn back to it. They were a mixed group of Israelites and Egyptian tagalongs, and they were a thorn in Moses' side. Every decision he tried to make, they'd complain. And they did not just complain on the inside. They complained. They constantly complained. They constantly stirred up trouble. And the truth of the matter is, we all know people like that. Unfortunately, some here today may be people like that. I'm not pointing. And don't be pointing at each other too. Oh yeah, that's him right there. He's always like that. No. No. Don't be pointing. Verse 4 says that these folks yielded to intense cravings. What they were doing here was they're crying out for better food. Now at home, I do that sometimes. Woman! I call her that every now and then. It's a term of affection. Jesus called his own mother, woman, in Scripture. And I call it, woman, when are you going to feed me? What's for supper? I am lusting for better, well, for food. Not necessarily better food. But they stirred up the whole nation to say, who will give us meat to eat? If we only had meat to eat. I'll bet some of them were saying, we had meat back in Egypt. Back there we had meat. We don't have any here. As Moses walked through the camp, all he could hear was all kind of manner of weeping and whining through the tents. Now verse 10 tells us that God was angry. Angry. And Moses was displeased. Listen, Moses was discouraged. Discouraged. If we play to the crowd, the grumbling will eventually get to us. It's hard sometimes to be in leadership when the people you're trying to lead are just grumbling and whining and complaining. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's hard. It's discouraging. I learned back early in my ministry that people will complain. Everybody complains at one time or another. People will complain. And some people, that's all they ever do is complain. And no matter how much you do, you'll never do enough to please everyone. Some of the toughest times in my ministry have been when I've allowed myself to be drawn into those caves of complaint. Oh, preacher, I have something I just need to tell you. Oh, man. And it's complaint after complaint. And that's not all. It's just some folks are that way. Listen, y'all are good folks. I like y'all. Mostly. I like you. It's okay. I'm not talking about you. But some folks, they say, preacher, I just need to... Can you give me just a minute? Oh, the hardest ones are right before you come in for a morning worship service. And you get people who say, Preacher, can I have just a minute? And they spend that whole minute complaining about something you did last week. And you've prayed up, you're ready. And then you come in and you're getting ready for time of worship and a time of proclaiming God's word. And someone lets the wind out of your sails. And they just drag you down. Listen, I'll listen to anything any of y'all want to say. I'll tell y'all up front, I'll listen to you. But if you're going to complain about something, don't pick right before worship service to do that. Get me some other time. But not for the worship service. You'll never do enough to please everyone. My goal is to please God first and give Him time to work. And I find when I do that, most of the problems work themselves out. If I try to please God first. Sometimes you got to wake up and first thing in the morning is make up your mind who you're going to make happy. Are you going to make yourself happy? Are you going to make your relative, cousin, sister, brother, neighbor, workmate, I would say classmate, but the seniors don't have to worry about that anymore. Are you going to make them happy? Or are you going to wake up every morning saying, God, I want to make you happy today. It's all about you. Man, that'll change your life. I dare some of y'all to do that. First thing out of the bed every morning, say, God, I'm going to make you happy today. Now, when you do that, because I know some of y'all are thinking, well, by golly, I need to do that. When you do that, the enemy is going to come after you. Just get ready. Stay prayed up, because it's going to happen. Let's move on. We can spend a whole lot of time here, but we need to move on. Roman numeral number 2, craving approval brings jealousy. Jealousy. In verses 24 and 25, we see that the elders prophesied. Again, God taught Moses not to take the whole burden on himself. He told him to call for the 70 elders of Israel, call them to the tabernacle. And it says there that God came down in a cloud of glory and put the same anointing of the Spirit on the elders as was on Moses. Now, we need to remember that the Holy Spirit had a different ministry during Old Testament times. Today, the Holy Spirit comes to permanently live within us at the moment of our salvation. The moment we're saved, He moves in. And He's going to stay there. Permanently. But in Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit would rest on people for a particular period of time and for a particular purpose. And oftentimes, after that time was done and that purpose is over, the Holy Spirit would be removed. When the Holy Spirit rested upon the elders of Israel, it says they prophesied. They spoke the word of the Lord. But just that one time. Just that once. So the elders prophesied. Letter B. Eldad and Medad. I like these Old Testament names. I like these in particular because they're easy to say. Eldad and Medad remained in the camp. They were two of the elders. They were called up to the tabernacle. But they stayed behind in the camp. And apparently someone took a roll call of the 70 and noticed that these two guys should have gone to the tabernacle, but they remained in the camp. Now, they weren't troublemakers. They weren't the rabble. They weren't that group of folks that were constantly complaining about everything. And it seems that the Spirit of God rested upon them too. Because it said they prophesied in the camp. They proclaimed God's word there in the camp. But in verse 27, we see that a young man saw that these two good old boys were prophesying in the camp, and he ran to tattle to Moses. Some folks just like it. Oh, preacher, I saw him do this. Go fix him, preacher. This preacher don't fix people. God fixes people. Anyways. Even Joshua, who was described as Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. In other words, make them stop. Make them quit. And in Joshua's voice, really, I kind of hear this profound respect for Moses. Moses, my Lord. Now, this is different than the Lord God, Lord. This is the boss, Lord. Moses, my Lord. I love Moses' response. He says in verse 29, are you zealous or are you jealous for my sake? I believe that Joshua and the tattler were probably jealous for themselves. They were wondering why they weren't exalted like the elders or like Moses. In verse 29, Moses said, oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that all the Lord, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. But there's these two that stayed in the camp, and there's this tattler that just had to go to Moses. Right this time of prophesying and proclaiming the word of God, he goes to Moses, maybe tugs on his robe and says, Moses, there's these two guys are in the camp. They didn't come up here like you said. You need to call down lightning bolts on them. Don't be like that tattler. Just saying. If you needed a message to take home today and you've been looking up for one up so far and you really hadn't found something to stick in your pocket and take home, this is it. Don't be a tattler. Let God take care of it. Now, unless you need to be a tattler. That's a sermon for another day. Let us see. When our goal is approval, we'll be jealous of the attention that others get. If our goal is for the approval of all the people, if somebody else gets it and not us, we're going to get jealous. We're going to go tattling. We're going to say, my Lord Moses forbid them. We often feel like we are indispensable. We feel like, well, nobody can teach this class like I can. No one can lead this ministry like me. No one can organize this activity like we can. And pastors, listen, us pastors, we can very easily find ourselves in this position. If our goal is to please God, we don't care who gets the credit. We don't care who gets recognized if our goal is to please God. If our goal is to win the approval of people, we want the credit. We want to be recognized. The truth is this, none of us are indispensable. None of us. If you think you're doing something that nobody else can do, what you will find out is when you quit doing it, God will raise up somebody else. Now, sometimes he has trouble getting the attention of somebody else. Sometimes he's got to slap us around a little bit to make sure. Sometimes he's got to do like little children do to their parents. You've seen this. May have happened to you. They're wanting to talk to mommy or daddy, and they want to make sure that mom and dad hear. So what they do is they go grab them by the face, and they get nose to nose with them to make sure they're paying attention. I know adults that have to do that sometimes. Got to get them by the face. Sometimes God's got to grab us by the face. Get eye to eye with us so he can get our attention, so he can raise us up to do what needs to be done. None of us are indispensable. Listen, God can do whatever he wants through whoever he wants. He's a big God. He can handle this stuff. I'm still encouraged by the fact there in Numbers chapter 22 where he uses a donkey to proclaim his word. Read it, Numbers 22, especially the last half of that. God can use anybody for his purpose. The fact he used a donkey to speak the word of the Lord gives me great encouragement. It really does. Remember this. And there's a whole lot more that needs to be said, and we're going to pick up next week. But remember this. God is God, and we aren't. We may think we're in charge, but God's in charge. We may think that nobody can do this better than we can do this, but God's in charge. We are not God. He is. Sometimes some of us need to quit pretending like we are. That we are God's mouthpiece. That we are His opinion. That we are His whatever. Because God is God. And we're not. We're not. If we are craving the approval of people, we're going to find ourselves disappointed most of the time. Most of the time. And some folks that give us the approval that we've been craving are some of the same people who will take it away from us when we need it the most. If what we're looking for is the approval of people, we're going to be disappointed. But listen, if our number one goal is to make God happy, to seek His approval, if that's our goal, I'm not saying, I'm saying if it really is our goal, then we don't have to be too concerned about what somebody else thinks. What we're concerned about is, what does God think? What does my Heavenly Father think about what I'm doing? Would He be pleased? Not will I be happy. Will He be pleased? That may change our behavior sometimes when we realize how what we're doing does not please the Father. Let's pray together. Father, how I thank You, Lord, that You have blessed us with the permanent indwelling of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank You that You're God and we're not. Lord, I pray that You would not give up on us. Lord, that You would keep drawing us to Yourself. Help us make You happy. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.